A ceremony today in Haiti will usher in a new government, nearly 2 weeks after the assassination of former President Jovenel Moïse. Under pressure from foreign countries, Claude Joseph says he is stepping down as interim prime minister, paving the way for Ariel Henry, who was appointed prime minister shortly before Moïse was killed. On paper, this fills a power vacuum in the island nation, but Haiti's political future is anything but certain as humanitarian crises and gang violence continue. Let's bring in Widlor Merincourt. He's the editor-in-chief of the Haitian news outlet Ayiba Post, and he joins us from Port-au-Prince via Skype. Widlor, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
Can you start by explaining some of the forces that are pushing out Claude Joseph, the interim prime minister? I mean, what kind of pressure did these foreign powers, including the U.S., put on him?
We don't know for sure what kind of pressure was put on him. What we do know was his intention to lead the government. Actually, he stepped up to fill the power vacuum. All of a sudden, out of the blue, even the UN went on the record to say that Claude Joseph should stay all the way until the next election, signed a document that is signed also by other foreign powers, the most powerful in Haiti, which are the US, France, the UN, and other embassies, to say that they encourage Ariel Henry, who was chosen by the president 2 days before he died, to form a new government.
Got it. So could you sort of introduce us to Ariel Henry? He's largely unknown, I think, to many of our listeners. What should we know about him?
Well, what we do know about Ariel Henry is he's a neurosurgeon. He's someone who's on the shadow of power. But he's very close to PHTK, which is the party of the president, of the president who died. And if you can see the composition of his cabinet right now, and it's a cabinet that is making a lot of people furious because some of the key ministers are being held by folks in this same party. For instance, in the last 3 years, the president, Jovenel Moïse, suffered from, major large protests against corruption. And one of the things that civil society is asking right now is to make sure that folks who mishandled money and, implicated in embezzlement, including the recent president who was implicated personally in his companies in these scandals, they ask for justice and they ask that any transitional government should take into account these things. But the Minister of Justice, for instance, is the same. So it's a way of saying that, the status quo in terms of these demands will remain.
I see. So you say it's sort of status quo, which I suppose makes sense since Henri is Moïse's appointee. But it may not last very long, Widlor. Let's look ahead a little bit because the Senate in your country has been reduced to just 10 people because Jovenel Moïse never held elections. Some of those senators are backing the president of the Senate, Joseph Lambert. He is saying that U.S. diplomats urged him to stand down. Meanwhile, there's a presidential election scheduled for September, and in Haiti, the president appoints the prime minister. So there's no guarantee that Henri will remain in office for a long time. So in sum, it just feels like the political confusion is far from over. So I'm wondering how fragile this unity government under Henri is right now.
Well, it's unclear what will happen. For instance, the international community at first was pushing for having election on September, but right now they are not pushing this agenda anymore. They talk more about having elections when it's possible or as soon as possible. You are in a situation where there is nothing in the Constitution, there is nothing in the laws that can help you handle this type of situation. A lot of people thought that Claude Joseph would stay as the prime minister all the way until the next election. But all of a sudden, the international community changed its heart and mind, and we don't know, what will come next.
Widlor, I mean, this political unrest is important, no doubt, but I wonder if it might feel somewhat removed from the everyday lives of many Haitian people, because the last time you and I spoke, you mentioned that gangs were preventing vital humanitarian aid from getting to where it is needed. Now, we do see the COVID-19 vaccine beginning to roll out in a Haitian hospital over the weekend, but do you have a sense of how this new government is going to tackle gang violence that is so disruptive in many people's lives right now?
Well, I think this is the main question. I think this is something that this new government will have to answer in the next days and weeks ahead, because the kidnappings restarted, and this industry that is, you know, worth several millions of dollars is going back in full force. And you have also a humanitarian crisis looming, 4.4 million people in urgent needs of food. You have a problem of fuel, gas. I mean, these are the main, the emergencies that this government is facing. I mean, there is nothing legal going on here, a lawyer told me. It's all about deal making. It's all about the forces in place. These forces, they are the ones, most people are telling me, that are making the decisions right now. It's not about what is in the law, what is in the constitution, because these things are inapplicable.
That's Widlor Merencourt, editor-in-chief of the Haitian news outlet Ayibo Post. Widlor, thank you.
Thank you.